jokes. Stephanie, the producer, has jokes today as we welcome you back here on a Saturday. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Ann's got jokes, too, over there in the corner. I see Ann. Michael Lombardi, of course. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. I mentioned to you yesterday, I came in. I get here, obviously. We start 7 a.m. my time. You get in so early. I'm telling you, the parking lot's filling up, man. It is on to the next
COVID's
step.
Over.
COVID's over. Take care.
It's over.
Deuces, COVID.
Get out of the house. Patrick. It's time for you to go. No, you can actually go to Stadium Swim now. Get out there.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yep, I got my
water. Go down to Stadium Swim.
Yeah.
Get your Speedo on. Go down there. I'll send Berman out there with you. You both can kind of hang out. Go. It's time.
As long as he's got the captain hat, I'll be cool.
Trust me, he will have a costume for any event. There's no denying that. He'll have a costume. It was well done.
Berman has so many costumes on Halloween, he goes normal. You know what I mean? It's the other 360, whatever, however many days are in a year. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, now he has to get into, so the King's birthday is next month, right? So that's Dominic the King. So he's going to have a big birthday party here at the beach. And so, you know, he loves sharks. So we're trying to get the man to wear a shark outfit, but he's fighting with a little resistance. He's worried about the little guy being scared of the shark outfit. So we'll work our way through that. You're invited to that party too.
Appreciate the invite.
You're invited to that party too.
How does that song go?
The shark. Yeah, I know that one. Yeah, I don't know the words to that one. Let's stick with the Bee Gees. We'll be all right. All right, let's go. What do we got
now? Josh is gonna. We just completely ran over Josh. So after the update, he's gonna provide a market update, and then we'll move on from there. I joked about it, but you have to admit it's a little. I don't know if emasculating is the word or just shameless. What LaFleur and this team has to do now, begging the dude to come back, is weird.
Well, I mean, how did it ever get this far? That's my question. Like, how did you not know there was a problem? Like, are you not interacting with this guy every single day? Do you not have a conversation with him that goes outside? Like, what's bothering you, Aaron? Like, talk to me. Like, are you not going up to the great Mark Murphy and saying, hey, Mark, you know, how about LaFleur saying Blake Bortles took Jacksonville to a conference championship game? Did he watch that season? It was Jacksonville's defense that was taking him there. You know, like, seriously. And so signing Blake Bortles is just, to me,
is the best.
It is the cherry on top. I mean, it is the cherry on top.
It's the best.
Tops.
We talked about it. Go 29 years of Favre and Rodgers to Blake.
And then you go to Bortles. But then the thing is, what no one's saying is the fact that you have to sign Blake Bortles because you signed a veteran guy because you know Jordan Love can't. Everybody knows Jordan Love struggles to play right now. Like, Jordan Love's a year away from being 2 years away. You know, and that's where Jordan Love is. Yeah, that's where he is. He's a year away from being 2 years away. So until he gets there, I mean, there's no, like, that really has got to question it. And look, and I don't think everybody, Terry Bradshaw's right. Like, he had competition coming at him all the time. But for the most part, I think you've got to understand, just talk to the player. Like, where's the communication? And I think LaFleur's begging indicates there wasn't any communication.
So Jordan Love's rookie deal is going to be done before Jordan Love is ready to go.
I think so.
It's a bad draft.
I think so.
That's really what it comes down to. Coming back with Josh in a market update. First, here's an action update.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Boston Bruins had lost 17 of 19 regular season meetings with the Capitals, but went 4-2-2 against Washington this season. Bruins visiting the Capitals for game one of their first round East Division series. Bruins a $1.20 favorite at the Capitals, even money. The total 5.5 shaded to the under. 9-5 morning line favorite Medina Spirit, drug free and cleared to race to the Preakness today. The Bob Baffert horse failed a drug test after winning the Kentucky Derby. Cubs have lost 11 of 16 games on the road this season. They're a $1.23 favorite at the Tigers today, 8.5 over the total. The second jewel of the Triple Crown is coming up today. Go to vsin.com/horses for our full race coverage, special offers from our partners, and picks from horse racing specialists like Dave Tooley, Ron Flatter, Jeff Siegel, Millie Ball, and Jeremy Kwong. vsin.com/horses. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Basketball NHL playoffs around the corner. BetMGM Sports Nevada, and it's the premier sports betting app, has everything you need. You go in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Stop by the Strip with your state-issued ID, and you're going to be ready to bet within minutes. Got to be 21 years or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. So we were having some fun as we welcome in Josh Applebaum with here on the Lombardi Line with your quote that Jordan Love is a year away from being 2 years away, which made us think of Yogi Berra. No one goes there nowadays. It's too crowded. It's like deja vu all over again. What's your favorite Yogi Berra quote?
Well, my favorite Yogi one, of course not. I'm a fat guy. My favorite Yogi line of all time is, you know, no, don't cut that in eight. I could eat eight pieces. Just cut it in half. You know, the pizza.
A nickel ain't worth a dime anymore. I mean, he had a lot of really good ones. The future the ain't wisdom. What it used to be.
Right. You can see a lot from looking. You can see a lot from looking, Patrick.
These are all his.
They are all his. I mean, how about Yogi, would you like me to cut this pizza in eight slices? Oh, no, I can't eat eight slices. Just cut it in half. That's fine. I mean, like, seriously. Like, where do you get this?
Josh,
like,
how about this one? You can observe a lot by just watching.
Ooh, makes a lot of sense, Patrick. Yeah, also, it gets late early around here. Don't you guys know that?
If he literally came up with those, a lot of those are brilliant, as we say.
They're Mark Twainish. They really are Twainish.
They're very clever.
Yeah.
But again, Jordan Love, Clements, according to Michael Lombardi, is a year away from being 2 years away. That might be better than all of them. As we say hi to Josh. Market update. Hi, Josh. I know you were we completely skipped you the last time because we were talking horses, so we apologize. What's going on? Give us a market update. What are we looking at today?
No, it's all good, guys. When you get going, we wind you up and let you go. So I'm just here for backup. But, guys, one thing to talk about in Major League Baseball, because Michael woke up early to do his research, but here's one thing I've noticed in baseball. We talk about early Lombardi lines. Basically, dogs were crushing it in baseball to start the year. Favorites are only winning at a 52% clip, but because you're laying that minus number, you're down quite a bit. Month of May, though, favorites have really roared back. We kind of knew we'd have some regression here. So favorites in the month of May are so far 110 and 75. That's 60%. So April, they're only hitting 52%. Now they're up to 60%. So that kind of just tells you, favorites, you got to win at a higher rate to turn a profit. Obviously, dogs, you can win less and make money. We are starting to see favorites really roar back in Major League Baseball. But Michael, got a bunch of plays for today. Let me get your thoughts on the first one here. The Angels at the Red Sox. This one jumped out to me. Last night, you did see the Red Sox win 4-3. They're down there. They needed a home run late by Bobby Dalbec to win that one, but they won 4-3. Angels have now lost 3 straight. Red Sox have won 2 straight. What jumped out to me, Michael, is pretty much the public is all over the Red Sox here. Great record. They're at home at Fenway. Yet we've seen a lot of money hit the Angels. You know, this game opened kind of a pick 'em type number, despite public betting all over the Red Sox. We've seen the Angels go now to -113, -115. This would be kind of a fade the trendy dog type scenario with a little respected money on the Angels. You do have a road umpire, Ryan Blakeney, is about 54% to the road team. But Michael, your take on the Angels, and then maybe what do you think of the over here? It's a great day in Boston, 70 degrees, winds blowing out. Angels are 21-16 to the over, over 9.5 here, Michael.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of this, when you look at this game, I mean, the Angels, the Orioles gave up on Dylan Bundy. And now he comes into this matchup. He's 0-4 and a 5.03 in the last four games. So you got to really wonder about where he is. But the Red Sox offense has stalled a little bit over the four-game stretch, and they've lost 3 of those games but broke out for 8 runs in the season finale versus the Athletics. So maybe that's a good sign. I do think this game goes over. I like it more than betting one either side.
And Josh, you and I were texting last night. Sharp money late was coming in on the Angels, and the Red Sox do win last night. These numbers have been a little confusing. The Angels sitting in the bottom of their division, of course. The offense is potent, but the pitching is terrible. Maybe we could use that as a teaching moment right now with the Red Sox last night getting faded and the Angels getting bet, Josh.
Yeah, great point by you, Patrick. So again, I always talk about the fact that I want to be on the side of sharp money, you know, and it's not that it's a lock or a guarantee. There's no such thing in sports betting here, but you're right, Patrick. Last night you did see some money to the Angels. The Red Sox end up winning there. That just goes to show you, you know, even though you had some money on the Angels, you know, it didn't come through, but that shouldn't really deter you from wanting to be on the sharp side of every play. So again, you know, a pro is not going to win 100%. 90%, 80% of the time. You're really trying to win 55% to 60%. So maybe a bounce back spot here with that over money a little bit and toward the Angels.
Here's today. What we know, Michael. If the line is moving one way, we know which way Josh Applebaum's going. However, I busted him last night because the line was moving away from him, but he was still betting with his heart and his socks, and they were red.
They were Red Sox. That line moves based on how he wants it to move, based on what his heart's telling him, too. Let's be real honest here. He can. One thing about my man Applebaum, after 3 years, he can find steam somewhere else. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, he can
find steam
in Antarctica.
Exactly.
I don't even know if that made sense. Is it steam?
Anyway.
Yeah, you could find it anywhere. Market update as far as anything on the NBA as we look. We did our best to break it down, but the motivation, Josh and Michael, is just
Josh, explain this line to the viewers listening out there at Nissan and Marquee. The Miami Heat are in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's a 5-point dog. How are you what's your view on that line?
Yeah, so I think Will Hill, he tweeted this earlier to me, and I think Will Hill nailed it. But to me, and you guys did a great job of explaining this, motivation, rest, all these type of factors come into play. So number one, it looks to me, based on this line move, Heat actually opened. Some shops are like -1, -2. You know, it was kind of a short opener. We've seen it get all the way up to 4.5 now. And to me, guys, this seems like we don't have confirmation yet. But what are the Bucks going to do? Is this because Giannis is out, Middleton's out? Again, you got to see, what are they playing for? What's their motivation here? Obviously, the Heat have been playing great. I think they have the best record in basketball if you go back around the last 2 weeks or so. But, Michael, move here to the Heat, obviously. But remember when we used to do, like, the Chiefs, those first-half type plays? The Miami Heat have done great in the first half, got off to these really good leads so far. In the first half today, they're only laying -2.5. And on the money line, they're, like, -140. So if you're worried about maybe something happening late, maybe the Heat get off to a good start there and get hot, no pun intended. But movement to the Heat here tells me probably some guys are out for Milwaukee.
I think it has to be, right, Patrick? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
No. Nope.
And obviously Milwaukee's motivation is nothing. So that line, and the line keeps drifting in favor of away from Milwaukee.
Also, remember, these teams, they prefer certain matchups. So, again, this is all about jockeying for position as far as the postseason right now. But we know this. Your Boston Celtics there, Josh, the play-in, which starts on Tuesday, they're going to have home court throughout that play-in. If they just beat, whether it's Charlotte or Indiana, they're going to be in as the 7 seed. So right now we know Boston, Charlotte, Indiana, and Washington, those are 7 through 10 in the East for the play-in. 8, 9, and 10 still up for grabs as far as the positioning.
Yeah, I can tell you one thing, guys. You know, in Boston, you know, I would say New England is very high on the Bruins, very down on the Celtics right now. It's a team that, obviously, with Jaylen Brown getting hurt, you now have a ton of injuries today. They're going to the Timberwolves. This is a team that, you know, is now 500, and that's not where they wanted to be at this point. But Tatum is probable with an ankle, but no Kemba Walker today. He hurt his neck. You also have no Tristan Thompson, no Marcus Smart. Robert Williams continues to be out. So today, this line, the intriguing thing, guys, is that you are seeing a little movement to the Celtics. They're at the T-Wolves. The T-Wolves open -5.5. That line is now down to 4.5 at some shops. So maybe you could buy on this bad news, grab some points with the Celtics. But I'll be honest with you guys, a team that I've watched all year, not very mentally tough. There's questions about Stevens, whether he's still getting through to the team, a team that's very injured here. Obviously, you would think a good matchup with the T-Wolves, and how do you not grab the points? There is a move to the Celtics a little bit. This is a team that is not playing well right now, and they're really going the wrong way.
It's inconsequential. It's inconsequential because they're sitting 7. They're not moving out of 7. So, again, there's no motivation unless you just want to play better going into that play-in game, right, Josh? Would you say, Michael, there has been, and we joke with you about the 76ers, but the vibes in Boston after 3 straight appearances in the Eastern Conference Finals, the vibes in Boston are weird around this team.
You know, and I think it's justifiable. I mean, Danny Ainge didn't have a great offseason. Let's put it honestly. I mean, you know, Kemba Walker, I thought, was a really good signing for them, and he's been hurt too much. And, you know, they haven't been able to get that. They have no big inside. I mean, they traded away Theis, and they have no big guy in there. Not that he was a great player. But every time they play against a team like Philly or someone who has a dominant inside player. You know, you're not going to beat the Lakers. If you're a championship contending team, you're not beating the Lakers without a post player, Anthony Davis. You're not beating Miami. You're not going to go in there and beat Bam without a legitimate post player. So there's a lot of work to be done yet in Boston, and I don't think the chemistry is back to where it was last year. And clearly, they're not the same team, and I think they're going to have to reconfigure their roster this offseason.
Speaking of the Lakers, Josh, let's jump into that number because tonight they're in Indiana. Indiana still jockeying within that play-in scenario for position. But the Lakers, this is a mammoth game for the Lakers. They're a half game behind Portland. Portland does own the tiebreak, but the Lakers are trying to avoid that play-in. They're going to go all out.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Patrick. The interesting thing here is you have heavy betting on the Lakers, yet the line really hasn't moved at all. So they open at -7. They're the popular play, yet they've kind of stayed at 7. To me, I want to know the next move. Does this thing inch down to 6.5? Does it rise a little bit up to 7.5? But once again, you know, this, I guess on the one hand, it's a good thing it's a 1 o'clock game, so we might get some clarity here during our show before it ends. But Anthony Davis questionable, LeBron questionable. You have a lot, Schroeder, McKinney, a lot of these guys, Michael Caruso. We don't know if he's in or out. Brogdon, we know, is out. Sabonis is – I mean, LeVert, this is just a massive questionable injury play. So I think the intriguing thing is over the next 45 minutes before we get out of here, what happens? Do we see any of these guys in or out, and can you take advantage of that, of those injuries maybe?
Hey, Michael, how about this quote from Danny Ainge? This is not the quote you want heading into the postseason. Quote, I think that we will definitely be looking to make some changes in the offseason. Obviously, can't go into any of the details, but yeah, there will be changes. How significant? I don't know. We'll see. He's saying the postseason?
Well, he don't like the team. He couldn't like the team. I mean, he tried to make trades at the deadline. They couldn't. Know what they get Fournier. That hasn't really worked out. But, I mean, he doesn't like the team. As the general manager, when you're sitting there watching the team and you don't like it and you know the outcome before anybody else and you can hear the noise. Now, there's no noise on the Celtics. They had that run, I want to say, like in the beginning of April where they started. They went on the West Coast and played really well, and you thought they were turning the corner like the Heat have turned the corner, but it never sustained itself, and it came back, and then, of course, the injuries. But I think Danny knows. Look, Danny's a really smart guy, and he's clinical in the approach. He knows his team's just not good enough, and he knows he needs to make some changes, and I'm sure he probably feels like, look, I didn't do enough to help this team. And as a general manager, you're constantly always thinking that. You're constantly always saying, I miscalculated. What I was counting on to be true ended up not being true, and that's when you make the biggest mistakes. When you count on something to be true and it doesn't turn out true, you're going to fall apart.
While I agree with you, I think Josh and those watching on Nesson would agree that, hey, there's always hope. You're in the dance. The idea that he's essentially, I mean, they could go on to win a championship, then what? But the idea that he's essentially couching it already, Josh, and saying, yeah, we need to make changes to this team as they're getting ready for the postseason is a pretty weird quote.
Yeah, it really is not good vibes at all here. And I think, you know, it's really, you kind of lead by your stars. So Jason Tatum, I think I liken him to kind of like Paul Pierce before the big three when the Celtics weren't playing well and he scores a million points. But, you know, do you get your teammates involved? Now you have no Jaylen Brown. I think Danny Ainge, really the mistake that he made is really not, you know, bringing in more troops when you lost Gordon Hayward and maybe second guessing getting rid of Terry Rozier early and maybe not making that move for Miles Turner. The Celtics desperately need, you know, someone in the paint who can clog up the paint here. But Michael, you know, if I can go a different direction with you, another thing in Boston that's a hot topic is Tom Brady Sr. His comments about the Patriots and the Bucks going head-to-head week 4. He came on a radio station in Boston. And Michael, I know you know Tom and Tom Sr., but he gave some bulletin board material. He said, we can't wait to get up there. We're going to beat the Patriots pretty handily. We're going to be 4-0. Do you think Tom Brady's mad at what his dad said, or what do you think Belichick thinks of those comments?
Well, I mean, whether Bill's seen him or not, but I mean, Bill will get to it. You know, one of the classic Bill is he'll get to it when he gets to it. I think he's preoccupied with rookie minicamp right now, so I don't think he's worried about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week 4. I think he's worried about getting his rookies in line and getting them in better shape and conditioning and teaching them what it's going to take to become a Patriot player. So, you know, look, it's great media conversation. One thing I do know, it won't affect anything in that building because they don't really care. They're just going to go about their work, and they're going to get their things done in order. And they got a long way to go before they're ever going to be good enough to play good teams, and that's all Belichick's approach would be.
Bottom line is, I don't think Bill Belichick's going to be clapping back at Tom Brady's dad. Because Tom Brady's... Look, I mean, Belichick doesn't really give us much heading into these type of matchups. He might not even speak. He's going to be inaudible heading into that Week 4 matchup with the Bucs.
I can honestly tell you, he's going to say, we're playing the Bucs, we're not playing Tom Brady. I mean, and that's the reality, and that's what they're doing. They're playing a really good Buck defense that helped them. And I think when you break down the Bucs team last year, especially after their bye week when they lost, I think you could see the improvement of their defense. You could see the vast improvement of their offensive line, and they protected him really well, and their receivers came through. Tom played great. There's no denying that. Tom played wonderfully, but the rest of the team played with him. They played to his level, and all he had to do was execute within the offense. I mean, look, let's face it. I mean, that Green Bay game, Green Bay had every opportunity to win that damn game. Green Bay sitting there, they have every chance to win it, and they just, you know, LaFleur decided he thought Billy Turner could block on the edge. You know, the tackle situation was horrible, and first and goal from the 8, they don't have 4 good plays to get him in the end zone. They settle for a field goal. Mind-boggling, but, you know, that was the game.
I do know this. Josh and I are going to have to take a loan from Michael to get tickets for that game, Week 4 on Sunday Night Football. The Patriots.
Don't ask me. I don't have tickets up there. I don't ask me.
Just pull up the couch.
I know nothing.
I'm
right Sergeant there. Schultz. I know nothing there.
I'm sure you don't. Josh, we'll come back later and run the board. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. When we come back, Trey Lance, starter, Week 1 in San Francisco. See what Michael Lombardi thinks coming up next here. Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up tonight, and VSiN has everything you need to get a betting edge. Visit VSiN.com/horses. Find out our full race coverage and picks from the horse racing specialist we have here at VSiN, the best around. Plus, get a special offer from our partners at FirstBet. FirstBet is giving you $20 in free bets for all new users who sign up using the promo code Vegas20. Also, everyone who redeems this $20 free bet offer will receive full access to the VSiN subscription products for free. From now through the Belmont Stakes. That's a great deal. Use the promo code Vegas20. Again, it's vsin.com/horses and first bet. You're going to love it as we welcome you back. Michael Lombardi, of course. We've got Thomas Gable from the Borgata joining us, Michael, in just a little bit. I got a quote for you from Kyle Shanahan in regards to Trey Lance. Shanahan asked, is there a chance that Trey Lance could start as a rookie? He said, hell yeah, there is. I think that would be really hard. Jimmy is a really good quarterback, all right? So Jimmy right now, that's Jimmy Garoppolo, is a -278 favorite to start Week 1 for the 49ers, and Trey Lance is +220. Thoughts?
Well, I think, look, it is going to be really hard for Trey Lance. 319 passes in college, you know, never played at the highest level. The game's going to move really fast for him. It's going to move really fast for him. Not that he can't do it, but I do think he needs a year to get ready to play in the NFL. I think he's going to need to get used to it. There's so much to handle at the line of scrimmage for a quarterback. The protections, getting into the right protections, getting into the right play. Most people, you know, what most people don't realize, the quarterback, especially good quarterbacks in good offenses, don't go with just one play at the line of scrimmage. They have multiple plays that they've got to get in and out of. They've got to be able to quickly diagnose, get to the right play, and then get the play executed. And it's challenging, and there's a lot going on. In college, from the college game, everybody's told what to do from the sideline. In the pro game, the quarterback tells everybody what to do. Hey, when they break the huddle, hey, Trent, make sure you get that left edge handle. I got to hold the ball a tad longer. You know, like that's what Brady does. Like, hey, look, we, you know, hold these blocks a quick second. We're going to, you know, I got to make this throw down the field. Whatever it is. And I just don't think Trey Lance is going to be ready. Do I think Trey Lance could come in and run the ball, do a couple things? Yeah, I do. But do I think he could run the offense? No.
Okay, let's take a look at the 49ers schedule and their season win total. Garoppolo, 278, big-time favorite to be the starter. You see the total set at 10. Now, it is juiced up at BetMGM, -140 to the over. Just your initial blush at that number 10.
Well, you know, I really want to see this summer what they've done defensively. You know, with Salai not being there, have they changed their approach defensively? Are they going to incorporate some different fronts, some different coverages? Are they just going to be so kind of tied to the Pete Carroll system of cover three? That's really what I want to notice on tape. And I don't need players, I don't need the starters to see that. I can just see that from whoever they play. What are they practicing? And that's what I really want to gauge. So before I can bet that over or the under number, I want to look at that. I do think they have a really good team. You know, do I think they're as talented as they were 2 years ago? Probably not, because, you know, they miss Buckner. You know, Kinlaw hasn't replaced Buckner to the level that Buckner is. That doesn't mean Kinlaw's not a good player. It's just that he hasn't replaced him to that point yet. So, you know, when you look at this schedule, you know, you got to feel like, look, can you find 10 wins? Lions, yes. Eagles, yes. Okay. Packers without Rodgers, we're 3-0, baby. You know, Cardinals, we're going to beat them at least one time. There's 4 wins. You know, Bears, 5. Rams, 1 time. That's 6. Jags, 7. Vikings, you know, Bengals, 8. Falcons, 9. Titans, 10. Texans, 11. I just made the case to bet the over.
It's not a brutal schedule. And it's a soft launch, too. At Lions, right, at Eagles.
Right, but you know that's a hard opening game. You're in Detroit. You fly all the way home. Got to fly all the way back to Philly. Right now, are they going to stay at the Greenbrier? Because typically Kyle Shanahan has stayed on the road, which I think would be the best thing to do. Go out there. You know, the Lions go out there. They stay. You know, play Detroit, then go down to Youngstown, which is where Jim Harbaugh used to take the team. Mr. DeBartolo, Mrs. DeBartolo, you know, that's where they have kind of like the base for headquarters of the DeBartolo Corporation through the York family that owns the team. Do they stay there and then practice and then go into Philly? That's the year that they really did a good job. I think that's the great bonding way to do it. That's what I would do if I were them.
His personality, him being Jimmy Garoppolo, does this situation motivate him or does he sulk?
No, he won't sulk. Jimmy's a competitor. I mean, you know, Jimmy's son of an electrician or a plumber. I mean, this is a kid who's worked hard his whole life. Nobody has ever given him anything. He walked in the same day. He and Johnny Manziel came in on their visits to New England the same day. He wasn't intimidated by Johnny Manziel, nor was he intimidated by the fact he was going to have to go and be with in the same room with Tom Brady. He's an easygoing, kind of living through the raindrops type of guy. And he's competitive, and he'll play. And he'll play as well as he can. And they'll have a hard time beating him out, because Jimmy knows this is bigger than just beating Trey Lance out. This is about my career.
Yeah, an audition. Absolutely. Well put. Coming up next, Thomas Gable, director of race and sports book over at the Borgata. He'll give us an update from Jersey as we continue. It's the Lombardi Line on a Saturday. Tonight, Saturday, of course, the VSiN expert horse racing experts have you covered, analyzing the horses, the jockeys, track conditions, everything. Visit VSiN.com/horses to find out our full race coverage, special offers from our partners. So you're going to get Dave Tooley, Ron Flatter, Jeff Siegel, Millie Ball, and Jeremy Plonk. That's VSiN.com/horses as we welcome you back here on a Saturday, Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. We're going to head to the Borgata and say hi to our buddy Thomas Gable. And speaking of the Preakness Stakes, TGZ wants to talk a little Preakness. Look, it really comes down to, it's a 10-horse field, Thomas. Midnight Bourbon, Concert Tour, and Medina Spirit. Most everybody is using those three.
Agreed, yes. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Absolutely correct there, Patrick. And overall, weaker field than usual for the Preakness, I feel. So we all know about Medina Spirit. And can I just say this? I don't know if Bob Baffert could have handled what happened there at the Derby any worse than he did, between the excuses and he was being canceled. And then finally we have the story of how that occurred. But, I'm glad that he stayed away from Pimlico today. Because the story is already all about Medina Spirit, but he certainly would have been even a bigger distraction. But let's look at Midnight Bourbon here, the 5-horse. Came in 6th in the Derby, made the jockey change from Mike Smith to Ired Ortiz Jr. question really is Steve Asmussen, I don't think, was really happy with the ride of Mike Smith in the Derby. Obviously, Smith here has moved to Concert Tour, who I was looking forward to seeing in the Derby until he finished a disappointing third in the Arkansas Derby. This is a horse that I was kind of following. And, he was favored to win there in the Arkansas Derby. He had won his first three career starts prior to that. And then after that finish, Baffert pointed him towards the Preakness and said, he would bypass the Derby. But he's probably the lone stalker in this field, Patrick. And again, with the weaker field, I really like Concert Tour here today.
Yeah, you nailed it. I think Medina Spirit's going to be on the lead. Michael and I were discussing that, a 10-horse field, so it's a little easier to get out there and get. And you mentioned the ride from Mike Smith on Midnight Bourbon in the Kentucky Derby. I think Asmussen, who is the trainer at Midnight Bourbon, was not happy, got out the gate slow, and never really stood a chance. Midnight Bourbon, Michael, when you watch the Preakness tonight, you'll notice Midnight Bourbon, a big, gorgeous, dark bay horse. Yeah, it's a beautiful horse. So,
Thomas, any thoughts on Crowded Trace at 10-1? Would it be somebody you'd take a long shot on?
Yeah, you might want to include Crowded Trace in some trifectas and superfectas maybe. And also look at the 6 horse there too. You might want to throw into some exotics as well.
Rombauer, Rombauer is going to be stalking. So the 6 horse at 12-1, Michael, if you're looking for a longer shot, not going to be the speed, going to be one of those horses you don't see until towards the end, the last few furlongs, and then he just comes from behind. So that could be a horse that stalks and ends up passing. But it's going to, Thomas nailed it. It's not a great field.
Hey, Thomas.
Interesting.
Thomas, I wanted to ask you, how are we doing? Have we opened everything up now? Is the governor of the great state of New Jersey allowed you to let everybody come in and hang out?
Not quite yet. He yesterday, I guess, came out and said, while the CDC has approved the no masks for those who have been vaccinated here in New Jersey, not quite yet. He's keeping the masks in place and the social distancing in place. So we are still social distancing here.
The guidelines here at the South Point are YOLO, live once, because I'm looking behind me, and there's 10-1 people.
There are no guidelines.
Mask off. There are no guidelines. It's a free-for-all.
We're
discussing motivation as we head to the postseason and the play-in tournament coming up on Tuesday. The Heat at the Bucks, an interesting number here. What do you have the Heat laying, 4.5, Thomas?
There's been a move back towards the Bucks here. The Heat are only laying 3 at the moment. So interesting movement there. But again, you talked about motivation. That's really what this whole game comes down to. This is the last home game of the regular season here for the Bucks against a potential playoff opponent. And, nobody really wants to face the Heat. They're coming off that beatdown of the Sixers 2 nights ago. One thing to look at for the Bucks is how they play defensively, which has been lackluster of late. These two teams haven't played each other since the opening week of the season when they went back-to-back in Miami and they split that series. But the Heat here, I think they're peaking at the right time. Again, they're 4-0 ATS in their last 4. They've won 7 of their last 8. They've been shooting the ball really well. And, Michael, I just think that the Heat here, they're going to be a dangerous team in the playoffs again.
Agreed.
No doubt, Thomas. I would take them. I think they were 12-1 to get to the Eastern Final, or whatever. I think Philly doesn't want any parts of them. I think Philly's praying like crazy tonight that Milwaukee finds a way to beat them so that the Knicks can move up and they play Atlanta in that. And then the Sixers do have an easier course to get to the finals. If they got to play Milwaukee in a 7-game series, they will not beat Miami. If they have to play Miami, they will not beat Miami.
Out west.
Yeah, Miami is currently 14-1, Michael, here at Borgata, 14-1 to win the Eastern Conference.
Okay, there it is. Out west, LeBron's just been upgraded to probable tonight. The Lakers are trying to hop out the play-in. Now, it's interesting because the Clippers, they tanked last night. You know this, Thomas, because they're trying to avoid a scenario where they would play the Lakers. I mean, it's the Pythagorean theorem. It's the Da Vinci Code trying to figure out this scenario right now. But where are you at with the Lakers and the Pacers?
Yeah, Lakers currently laying 8, total 225. The total has really dropped here from the opener of 228. But the Lakers are getting bet up. They opened 6.5-point favorites. They come into this one sitting in seventh place in the West, and they need to win their final two games and get some help there to avoid the play-in tournament. Patrick, I heard Anthony Davis bought your old residence there in Bel Air for $31
yes.
million. Dollars.
You're
Is
right.
that right?
Yep, you're right. Yeah. He actually contacted me for a reference, and I told him it's a sick pad.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I saw it. I'm like, man, it's Patrick's old place. But, yeah, Davis, along with LeBron and Caruso, all they're probable for the final two games of the season, but we'll see who actually plays here. And how many minutes will we see from Davis and LeBron is the question as well here.
Reports saying they're both going to play.
But here's the thing. If they play Golden State and then they get Phoenix in the first, they'll beat Phoenix. Like, they'll beat Phoenix in a seven-game series if those two guys are healthy. I would take the Lakers. Right. I mean, you're not going to get good odds on the Lakers. That Lakers series against Phoenix, I'm all over that.
TG, don't you dare next time try to flip the script, Beach House, when it comes to talking about mansions. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the Preakness over at the Borgata. Thanks, Thomas.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, that's our guy, Old Beach House. When we come back, we'll get a market update report with Josh Applebaum here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Raises the stakes for MLS action like BetMGM. So again, today, use the bonus code VSIN100, and if your first wager is a $1 money line wager on a bet on the Red Bulls or the Union, Philadelphia, you're going to get $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. If you're betting in Pennsylvania specifically, you'll get $100 in free bets if the team you bet on wins. Download the BetMGM app today. It's a new customer offer. It's paid for in free bets. Again, bonus code VSIN100. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. And Tennessee, call or text REDLINE, 800-889-9789. Okay, we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. I'm Patrick Maher. He's Michael Lombardi. Josh Applebaum joins. So the Lakers, looks like the Lakers are in Indiana. Let's make this very simple. The Lakers are in Indy tonight, Michael. They're laying seven. They're going to play everybody. That's the report right now.
Right.
They're trying to avoid being seven in the play-in. The reason being, if they move up to six and jump Portland, they would play most likely in the first round Denver. Clippers are trying to avoid the Lakers. That's why they lost last night to Houston on purpose. So that's the motivation. The motivation is very high, Michael, right now for the Lakers.
I wonder why they just don't play Phoenix. Like, I would rather play Phoenix than Denver. I would rather play Phoenix than Denver. I really would. I think they beat Phoenix, what, 2 weeks ago, was it? Maybe a week ago, without LeBron, with Anthony Davis, and it was a home game for Phoenix. I mean, and they won that game. I would feel that way, you know. But, look, this has got some top – I think the Clippers are smart. They want to play – in that bracket, that I mean, they'll get Utah, they get Dallas, who they feel like they can beat, and you know they'll play Utah in the conference
yes.
in the semifinals before they get to the finals. So, you know, it's a pretty good to be in that bracket. It's a little bit like being in the upper bracket in the East, where you know Philly, if it's, I know Miami will be a challenging game for them, but Miami wants to be in that bracket, not in the bottom bracket, where you have to go through Milwaukee and Brooklyn to get out.
Yeah, the Clippers lost purposely last night to Houston, Josh, distinctly because they want to play Dallas. That would be the 4-5 matchup out West.
Yeah, great point by you, Patrick. And this is something that if you're betting the NBA right now, you got to be very conscious of who's in, who's out, differing motivations, pay attention to line movement. You know, some updates right now, as you guys mentioned, with everyone being expected to play here for the Lakers. We've seen the Lakers jump up. You know, you're expecting LeBron, AD, Schroeder, all these guys to be in today. We've seen the Lakers a minute ago, they're -7. They're now creeping up to -8, -8.5. That total is rising as well with some of these offensive guys in. That total is around 226. now 227. The other news we saw, Zach LaVine is out. The Bulls are at the Nets, and the Nets are supposed to have their full big three here for one of the first times all season. A minute ago, Nets were minus 10. They're creeping up to minus 11. Looking for a couple overs today if you want to sweat some points. Number one was the Celtics and the T-Wolves. You mentioned this game earlier. It's kind of stayed around five with the spread, but we do know the T-Wolves, one of the worst defensive teams in the league. Celtics have been playing to the over quite a bit recently. That total in a non-conference game, non-conference over system will be 230 and a half up to around 232. So some money there with the Celtics T-Wolves over. Then another one would be the Suns and the Spurs. This total opened 223. It's up to 225. Just seeing some more movement there as well. But I guess the one benefit here, guys, a lot of day games today. A lot of these games are 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. So should make it a little bit easier with these injury reports. At least we got to figure out pretty quickly who's in and who's out today.
Michael, what is, go ahead, please.
That's right. I mean, the Chicago Bulls, Brooklyn Nets, that'll tell Milwaukee what's going to happen there. I think you have to be really cognizant of that line. Once Brooklyn beats the Bulls today, what happens to that Miami Heat, Milwaukee line? What does Milwaukee want to do? It's starting to come back, Pap. It's starting to come back to Milwaukee now. It's down. I've got it down to three. What do you have it as?
Yeah, Michael, I'm with you. And again, we saw when we started the show, that thing was up to 4.5, 4, kind of around there. And our first inclination was, hey, Bucks must be resting a bunch of players here. But maybe things are changing. Maybe things are fluid. Maybe the coaching staff says we're going to rest these guys, but hey, maybe they will play. So the fact that we have seen a late move here, Michael, back to the Bucks, looks like when it got to 4.5, there's some respect to money that said, hey, even with the question marks of who's in, who's out, maybe the Bucks at 4.5 had some value. It is now down to 3.
All right, could you guys make up?
I've never been a Buck fan, Michael. I've never been a Buck fan, but tonight I'm a Buck fan. I want them to beat Miami. I want the Knicks. I'm rooting for the Knicks to get in there. You know, just selfishly.
You know what you're gonna have though. We talked about it off the top with Philadelphia clinching the one seed in home court throughout. Michael, I think you're gonna get Washington. And Washington has been the way they're playing defense, you got to deal with Russ, you got to deal with that backcourt. They added the big. I mean, it's a team that right now is, to me, out of that 7, 8, 9, Celtics, Hornets, Pacers, Wizards. The Pacers, they're going to fire their head coach after the year. The Hornets have been banged up. The Celtics are a disaster. The Wizards are the team you want to avoid right now in that play-in.
Well, you got to play somebody. I mean, you can't. I mean, you got to play somebody, right? You can't avoid everybody.
No, that's not factual. No. You can skip the round one if you're just really nice.
I don't see that as the case. But look, do I think Washington will win a couple games on Philly? Yeah, I do think home court will matter. I think unless Russ goes crazy and, you know, he scores 60 and Beal scores 40, you know, and they get super hot, but the percentages always even them out. They'll beat Washington. They won't beat Miami. I'm just, write that down. They will not beat Miami. And I'm not sandbagging this.
I know.
I'm just saying they're not tough enough to beat Miami.
Do you have a favorite baseball park you've been through in your life, Michael?
Well, I mean, you know, the old Yankee Stadium for me as a kid growing up and going up to see on Sundays, my day off when I was in college or in high school, we'd go up there to watch a game with my uncles. That was always the best, you know, to go there, to take the A to the D and then come up and see in this incredible stadium. Old Connie Mack Stadium I used to go to when I was a kid as well. In fact, you know, I used to collect baseball stadium pictures. I don't know where I've gotten rid of them, but some of those are just really Detroit's, you know, Tiger Stadium.
Tiger Stadium was great.
I drove over there. It was great. You know, I like those, you know, when you go to Fenway to see the Green Monster. I think the Fenway, the one they have in spring training down there, is kind of neat. They've kind of modeled it after the same stadium. So, you know, I like that. I like stadiums that have a sense of history to them, different dimensions. You know, I lived through that 70s era where everybody was building stadiums that looked like Veteran Stadium. They're all the same, multi-purpose stadiums. Yeah. They weren't very good.
We don't need to ask Josh the question. He named his dog Green Monster, which is a weird name. But yeah. Josh, let's jump into the baseball.
How do you tell Green Monster to come? Green Monster, Green Monster?
I wasn't going to tell you, but Josh is a weird dude. I mean, Green Monster.
Yeah, I can tell you that. Yeah. I mean, Bella would look at me like, are you kidding? You're going to call me that? Bella would look at me like, you're
going
to call me that and expect me to come?
Roll
and expect
over,
me
Green
to come
Monster.
To a Jew? Get out of here. Yeah, right.
Josh, we do have a Mr. Baseball play. By the way, did you see he's taking a price with the A's?
Yeah,
Michael, I like the A's tonight.
I was going to tell you this, Michael. One thing that you might like, Oakland getting some plus money today. And, Michael, you're on it. And this is what you might like. Minnesota against lefties, you know, they struggle here. They have Barrios on the mound, their ace. But Minnesota against lefties, only 4-9 this year. They're going up against Irvin, a lefty for the Athletics. And also Minnesota, one of the most disappointing teams in baseball, 10-16 as a favorite here. So I'm with you, Michael. Getting some plus money, a road dog with a high-end total. To me, you check off some boxes with the A's there.
I like the A's here. I like Burrows, too. I wouldn't have typically gone this way, but as you said, against left-handed pitching, I do think, you know, sometimes he struggles with consistency, you know, and even though he's made a start against Oakland, and this kind of hedged me a little bit, you know, he only gave up one run in five innings, and then the Twins' bullpen fell apart and Oakland pushed over. So I like Oakland today. I think you get plus money with Oakland, and I think they'll take care of the game.
MLB updates, Josh Applebaum?
Yeah, tons of updates. Let's just run through them all. Tampa Bay getting some steam on the Rays here against the New York Mets. Tampa Bay has this kid McClanahan on the mound. He's a lefty. He throws darts. This open at Tampa Bay minus 130, steamed all the way up to close to minus 150. That would also match favorite low total. Interleague line moves have been great this year, 58% overall. Patrick, I'm sorry, but your Detroit Tigers, who I took yesterday.
You're the one that bet them yesterday, you big dummy.
I know. I'm an idiot. That for yesterday. We'll come back the other way. Michael, what do you think of the Cubbies today? The Cubbies open around minus 120. They've been bet up to minus 130, 35-ish. Line move to the Cubs here against Patrick's Tigers.
I mean, the Tigers have actually scored. They've struggled early in the season, and they've winning more games of late, though, you know, I think because they've been able to do that. So I think this one I would take the over in this game, actually. I kind of thought that was a good play on the over. And I do like taking Detroit in this game as well. I think it's – I don't like the Cubbies. I think the Cubbies have been struggling, and Williams is awful on the road. So I would take Detroit.
You two must be trolling me at this point. Yesterday, Josh takes the Tigers today. Michael, Mr. Baseball, takes the Tigers while I just sit here with my old English D.
Let's play two today, Patrick. Let's play two.
Quickly, your Bruins in action tonight. They open up the postseason.
Yeah, we got to give some love to the Nesson audience here in New England because the Stanley Cup playoffs begin today, and this is a huge series for the Bruins going up against the Caps. A lot
great
of bad
series.
Blood. Yeah, this is going to be a bloodbath here, Patrick. You know, you have a lot of, you know, kind of hate between Tom Wilson, who hurt Brandon Carlo earlier this year. Two teams with a lot of hate between them. But no, you also have the storyline of Zdeno Chara playing against the Bruins, who they let go, their captain for like 15 years. So a couple things going on here. Number one, Bruins led the season series 4-2-2 against the Caps. Bruins really got going after the trade deadline, getting Taylor Hall, getting Mike Riley, getting Curtis Lazar. They're 12-4-1 since the deadline. One of the best records in hockey. Guys, intriguing series line here. The Bruins opened minus 155 to win the series because you can bet on these series prices, not just the individual games. That's a 61% implied probability. Caps are plus 125. But if you look at today's matchup, if you like the Bruins, you're getting some action here today. The Bruins open around minus 120 on the road at Washington or minus 115. They've been bet up to minus 125. You also have a lot of first-round favorite line move matches with the Bees if you want to sweat the Bruins today.
Josh, enjoy it. Your Bees, enjoy
yes.
that, and have a good Saturday. Michael.
Looking forward to the race today, Patrick.
I know
you are. I'm looking for the Preakness. Midnight bourbon. I'm rooting for them.
Well, that was last night. I thought you were doing tequila today. Anyway.
No tequila, Patrick. Yeah. No, that's dangerous.
Go get some rest. You and Bill Berman. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Lombardi Line.
Happy birthday, Anissa.
Happy birthday, Anissa. It's the Lombardi Line, the pregame show with Brady's coming up next. Lots of